Good morning. A Tuesday morning, we're with our political observer, Alan Chartok. Alan, mayors want U.S. agents blocked from Portland and other cities. We've been talking about the federal response. The mayors of six U.S. cities appealing to Congress to make it illegal for the U.S. government to deploy militarized agents to cities that don't want them. Portland, Seattle, Chicago, Kansas City, Albuquerque, and Washington wrote to the leaders of the U.S. House and Senate pushing for limits on agent deployments. The move came Monday, as a top official said federal militarized officers would remain in Portland until attacks on the U.S. courthouse cease. Of course, we're seeing agents repeatedly fire what appears to be tear gas, flashbangs, and pepper balls at protesters. Some of these videos are hard to watch. You've been talking about how this is a Trump strategy.
David, first of all, by saying stay out of our cities, these mayors know full well that the House will go along, but the Senate will not, not with these Republicans who are in control of it. And there are at least two Republicans who are showing that they are ready to jump the traces. One of them, of course, being Mitt Romney, the other being Susan Collins, who is in a tough, tough race and is behind in Maine. So all of a sudden, Susan Collins is coming over to the more Democratic side in order to win some votes. But they don't have enough to do that. So what they're doing is they're doing basically a press release, and they're saying, stay out, you're making things worse, President. And that's true. But what we have to recognize is that the president wants to make things worse. That's what this is about, saying, I'm going to protect you, and that's my strategy for becoming president for another term. Law and order, and law and order. And I'm going to send people in there with pepper spray and everything else. Now, these mayors know full well that the moment that the president started that stuff, things got worse, and they're going to get even worse. Now, I am no fan of violence, either burn or loot or anything else. I don't like it. I've never liked it. Nevertheless, it is happening, and we really have to understand that what this president is doing is trying to provoke, and he is so far getting away with that. Then he makes the argument, only I can protect you. So the president is going to have to decide whether this is going to help him or hurt him. But the fact that these cities, many of them Democratic cities, are as angry as they are about his interference, I think hurts his total reelection numbers. You know, David, I've been looking at the reelection statistics in the various states, and this looks terrible for this president. In normal red states, it looks like he's underwater and in real trouble. So you can look for more of this kind of provocation as we get closer to the election, and as he falls either further behind or stays behind, he will be doing anything he can to try to figure out what the magic button will be that will get him reelected.
Meanwhile, the Attorney General, William Barr, is expected to be pressed on the federal response to the nationwide protest and his handling of criminal cases of Trump advisors. You and many others have criticized the Attorney General for serving the president, not the country.
That's right. Look, attorney generals have always had relationships with presidents. Robert F. Kennedy and Jack Kennedy was the apex of this kind of relationship. So we can't say that it hasn't happened before. The real question is whether the people who are attorney general know that there are lines that can't be crossed, that there is a time that they really do have to hold the country up first and their own personal political interests second. Barr has not been able to do this. He's articulate. He will get up there. He'll mumble. He'll do his thing. And he's not going to give an awful lot away. It'll be an opportunity for some of the Democratic Congress people to really let him have it and to bring up stuff that has occurred between him and the country up to now and his, for example, walking across the plaza and the tear gassing of all of those young people when Trump wanted his photo opportunity with his hand on the Bible. Those are the kinds of things that may get reiterated in the questions. I suspect you're not going to hear much from Barr that is going to be incendiary.
Let's turn to the coronavirus. The latest news we're hearing about, the world's biggest coronavirus vaccine study begins, a U.S. trial that will include 30,000 people to see if the shots really work. This from the AP this morning. There's still no guarantee that the experimental vaccine developed by the National Institutes of Health and Moderna will really protect. They'll get a placebo to test this. As this goes forward, they point out they need a very diverse, multi-generational, multi-ethnic group to get tested with some of the misinformation. Some are worried people won't come out and take it.
Well, that's right. I think there are a lot of people who will not take this vaccine. Sometimes they are called anti-vaxxers. It is not only occurs here, but with measles and other things. You know, I think that this is something that we're going to need to discuss as we go on, because I think the only way out of this pandemic is going to be with a vaccine. And then it's going to be important that people take it. I'm hoping that it happens. I'm concerned that what we do should be shared with other countries and other nations. There's a worldwide pandemic, and we ought to be helping other countries with it. So I'm concerned at the sort of competing corporate interests in all of this.
In Washington, Republicans release a $1 trillion package. The prospects for a bipartisan deal remain far from certain, says the Washington Post, as Democratic leaders met with Trump administration officials to begin formal negotiations. The clock is ticking on the real pain here.
David, the Republicans in the Senate don't want to do this. They have the majority, but they know they have to do something. The House of Representatives came up with $3 trillion. The first offer, obviously, to be negotiated from the Senate is $1 trillion, and it is loaded with things like a new FBI building for over $1 billion, I believe, and some other things that really are not addressed to the pandemic. But they figure if the Democrats want something, they're going to have to include some of this stuff. I've been saying all along, it's not going to be $3 trillion, it's not going to be $1 trillion. I'm picking a number, and I've been doing it for several days, which is $2 trillion. And then what's in it will become very important.